Welcome back to episode 4 of In a Fog. This week again, we're going to go over another professional athlete that had a career-ending concussion. So this week's person is Ryan Miller. He was an offensive guard and he played football. Football is one of the most common sports that athletes do get concussions and they never notice them. And so they just continue to get worse and worse and worse. And then they finally get hit with one big blow and their whole career is over. So Ryan Miller played for the Cleveland Browns, but when he transferred to the Dallas Cowboys is when he had a life-changing moment. So they were at a summer practice in 2015 for the Cowboys. Miller had gotten hit in the head by a tackle, and at first he had kept quiet about it because he was telling everybody, you know, you keep quiet and just fight until basically you can't any longer. So it was told that he had 10 previous concussions and he just kept them very low key. He didn't tell anybody about it. He didn't make a big deal about it at all. And then finally with this one, he did feel everything. He tried to fight through a little bit, but then all of a sudden he got to the training room and he was laying on the ground and the trainer asked him if he was okay. And he was like, no. So then he went on his way home and he called his wife and told her he had a good workout, but he knew something felt off. He hung up with her and the real onset came in and he started to vomit. He lost his balance and he couldn't stand. His legs were super, super wobbly and his body just honestly stopped working. He couldn't even think straight at all. He couldn't even do as much motion as to call 911 for himself. He was alone in his apartment. He says that all he wanted to do was die. And then 2 days later, he woke up on the bathroom floor. No idea really what happened. So he talks about how he kept this very quiet and very shy. And he honestly didn't really want people to find out how bad it was. He kind of just fell off the face of earth and never really said anything to anybody about it. As a football player, he explains how you're trained to sweep things under the rug, and if you're hurt, you ice or you rest and take a day off and just come back, but you typically don't speak up about stuff and you just want to fight and fight and fight until you honestly can't any longer and you're just so done. And but when it comes to mental health and concussions, sometimes nobody will know but you, and takes a tremendous amount of courage to stand up and say something about it. I feel like a lot of time with concussions, one of the main symptoms is depression, just because you do have that damage and it does alter your brain. And so I feel like when somebody gets a concussion, it's a lot of just depression and you don't feel like yourself and it just affects your mental health a lot. And I feel like only close people can really understand that and nobody would know what's wrong with you. You know, obviously you can put a fake face on, but that fake face is only going to last for so long. And so it's just kind of hard to speak up when you don't feel like yourself and you know there's really nothing you can do about it. He finally started to speak about his tears, his migraines, his memory loss, his seizures, his depression, his anger, his compassion, and now his hope. So after he got his concussion, he was definitely not hopeful. He thought he was going to die. I mean, he pretty much came back from practice after getting that concussion and didn't know what he was doing for 2 days. Nobody could reach him for 2 days. He just completely blacked out from that and doesn't remember a single thing, which is pretty scary. So now it is good to hear that he does finally have hope. Earlier in the year, he pledged to donate his brain to research of chronic traumatic. Last year, he pledged to donate his brain to the research of CTE through the Concussion Legacy Foundation. His symptoms from post-concussion syndrome mirror those of current and other former players, many who may live in fear of developing CTE as a result of their football careers. So this is a program that takes football players' brains after they passed away. That way people can do research on how much the tackling and how much the physical contact is actually affecting them, and they can look into ways to make it safer or if it's honestly just not a safe sport at all. CTE is really, really common in football players. It is a progressive and fatal brain disease associated with repeated traumatic brain injuries, including concussions and repeated blows to the head. So obviously in football, you're getting a lot of tackled and you're getting pushed and you're getting shoved. So obviously it is pretty common that you could develop this if you are a professional football player or if you're just a very physical football player. It is also associated with the development of dementia. So the program that Miller decided to donate his brain to is going to research CTE and determine if you have it, if he has it. They're only able to tell if a football player has CTE from the brain scans after they die. Miller kept his story super quiet, obviously, as we said before, because he was kind of just ashamed that he had so much depression and had so many issues, and he finally decided to speak up about his situation in order for it to help other people and to help other athletes and to make it an aware thing that concussions can be super serious. So he goes more a little detail into his story and everything that happened. He remembers the tape and heard the stories from teammates and coaches who hovered him with worry in that summer day of training camp of 2015. All he remembers, though, is the fear and panic that was just going through his head, the fear and panic in his eyes. That's all he remembered. For minutes, he laid motionless inside the Cleveland Browns field house after taking a blow to the head during a blocking drill at training camp. The music blaring through the loudspeakers cut off and gave way to shock and sirens as an ambulance rushed over. As his teammates silently played, Miller was strapped to a backboard and taken to the hospital, where he was diagnosed with a concussion. He says that he remembers waking up in a hospital bed with a splitting headache, and everything bothered him. The sound, the light, the movement, everything. The lights were off. He freaked out. He woke up and he thought he was fighting for his life. He was in complete disarray. He actually lunged forward and broke out of his straps that he was strapped to the hospital bed with and scared the nurse. This concussion had completely altered his brain. It was also going to be the end of Miller's football career. He had played two NFL seasons, never played another game for reasons that extended beyond that one concussion, but throughout his journey, he sustained many, many others. Being a football player, it is super common for you to get a concussion, like I said earlier, with just all the contact and all the physicality of the sport. In December of 2014, he was in San Diego and he slipped on concrete while running out to practice and missed the remainder of the season. That one, he said, didn't really concern him as much. It just kind of frustrated him more because he wasn't on the field. It was that one day in San Diego, he said that it rained and he decided to run into practice with his cleats on because he was running late. Just, of course, the one day that it rains in San Diego. He said that he had had 10 concussions documented on his medical record, which is quite a lot if you ask me personally. I think two concussions, period, and I think I would stop my kid from playing a sport, honestly, just because I want their brain to be safe and to be healthy. But there could have been many more that went undocumented, he said. There was countless others that he didn't even know were concussions. He believes they all compounded as one, as his susceptibility increased and his body tolerance of the symptoms plummeted. He says that it's one of the coach's jobs to check up on the players and the athletes, and that really honestly no football player should be getting 10 concussions, and a football coach should be a little more concerned about their athlete if they do have 10 concussions, and there could be a lot more that are undiagnosed, just because same thing in Miller's case, as we discussed in previous episodes, once you keep getting these repeated blows to the head, it does progress to worse things, and it does get worse. It doesn't just heal like a bruise every single time. It is going to get worse. And so it's really the coach's job also and the athlete's job to check up on themselves, check up on each other. You know, if you saw your teammate get hit really hard in the head at the other practice, you know, maybe suggest them taking the next day out. Just look out for them because it can get worse. It wasn't until summer of 2015 with the Cowboys that reality set in. He was diagnosed with post-concussion syndrome by two doctors. Dallas released him with an injury settlement, and Miller's life as an NFL player spiraled into one of isolation as he lay in the dark of his home in Parker and often blacked out for hours at a time. Which, in my opinion, that's honestly so scary that he blacked out and just would not remember. He would just be laying there and then could possibly just black out and be out for hours. He says that he would go to the grocery store and buy groceries. He'd come home and then would go to the grocery store an hour and a half later to buy the exact same things just because he had horrible memory. He did not remember a single thing that he did. He said it was really frustrating and he just felt alone in this. He felt like there was nobody that related to him. Nobody was going through the same thing as him. Sometimes snapshots of his life would appear in his head. He says that they're there and then they're not there, you know, you don't really know what's going on. He said he would just have the same conversation with people over and over and over again, and he couldn't do anything about it because he honestly truly did not remember having this conversation with them. He just thinks to ask again. Sometimes his wife would find him on the floor seizing, so he would seize and then he would black out, which is very, very scary as well, just seizing. The 6'7", 320 pounder who made a career of bulldozing defenders and become a prisoner had become a prisoner of his own body. And honestly, I feel like that's such a good way to describe a concussion. You do feel like you're a prisoner in your own body. Like when I had my concussions, I felt like I could do nothing. The hardest thing was to just open my eyes in the morning and get my day started and to act like everything was okay, when in reality, I was not okay. I was not happy. I was depressed. I was sad. I didn't know who I was anymore. Like post-concussion syndrome, it is a light switch. It flips on and off, no warning and no control. Some days could be good head days, which means it's not as bad as a headache and your eyes aren't as sensitive, your ears aren't as sensitive. So it's just kind of good days and bad days, like in general. Other days could be terrible and he blacking out like he said earlier and just seizing. Hope was restored when Miller sat on a couch in Sanadelia and listened. The tears flowed along with his fears. Through his agent, Miller was connected to a former Avalanche enforcer, Scott Parker, and his wife, Francesca. The Parkers organization was developed to help veterans, athletes, and others cope with symptoms of post-concussion syndrome and traumatic brain injuries. So this whole organization is meant to help people like him, to help him go through what he's going through, because they know it's hard. They've seen it. They're going through it as themselves. He said he sat in a room and he bawled his eyes out and gave his entire life story to these people that he'd never met before, and he'd barely given his life story to anybody at all. Then, with Spencer Milo and Parker's platoon member, Purple Heart veteran, Miller launched last fall Iron Spoke Barbecue, a backyard hobby turned into catering business. That ray of hope inspired purpose and needed structure. Miller says that cooking was therapeutic and that it was honestly the best medicine that he could take at the time. All he knew was to do what was something that was going to be good for him and how it was going to help him, and he knew that cooking benefited, so the organization helped him. Miller isn't completely free, and he honestly may never be. With a concussion, you never know. It might last the rest of his life. We don't know. He might develop CTE. The Hulk of a man who could make easy work of a weight room has reminded himself that those good head days aren't free gym passes. Overexertion can cause, and has for him, and will lead to days with beds and migraines and uncontrollable nausea. So for him, it's all about finding a balance that works for him. He says that he's a little bitter about how his head stuff was treated, and in no way, shape, or form should anybody have to deal with what he went through. I 100% agree. I don't think anybody should have to go through PCS. It's honestly horrible. When the founder of the Concussion Legacy Foundation reached out, Miller listened again. He talks about the cost of being diagnosed with a concussion is so high now that the incentive to both not report concussions and also not be associated with the cause is too high. He says that he would never even argue that NFL owners are so anti-CTE that players don't want to be perceived as even thinking about CTE while they're active. It's twisted. Honestly, football is a lot about just winning and getting these titles and getting these championships, and so coaches kind of disregard how their athletes are feeling, which is a very horrible thing. He talks about the goal in his life, and he says hope to find it and provide it for other people that are going through the same thing I'm going through. He talks about how he wishes he never took a beating, and he still looks back on his football career and wishes that he was still doing football. He says, but I did, and that has put me now in this place where I can come out and say something about it. People need to know mental health is a very real thing and people deal with it. Children, adults, pro athletes, and various others. To anyone else feeling alone in this, know that you're not the first nor the last, and most importantly, there is hope for us.